Om Agnanatvanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Asmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Hati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Braya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Kauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskadyade Sadarane. We need some translators. Espanol. Alguien aquí hable ambos inglés y español. I paruski, I parivochek. Yes, parivochek. Priest, bring your own. That one. What about for the priest? Where is the garland for the priest? Chuta, where is the garland for the priest? Okay. We have translators. Paruski, Katov, Parivochek. So thank you all for coming. This is called Mantra. Well, actually, it's not mantra. It's first initiation. Initiation means the beginning. According to Sri Rupa Goswami, the actual beginning in Krishna consciousness. Are we going too fast or too slow? The actual beginning in Krishna consciousness is some liking for the activities of Krishna consciousness. Everyone is attached to something that they like. For instance, in the relationship between a boy and a girl, generally there's no need for a ceremony of initiation to start off their relationship. The young boy is naturally attracted to a young girl, and a young girl is naturally attracted to a young boy. There's no need for some formality. So this is called shraddha, some kind of liking, attraction. Then, of course, the young girl will want to find out how much money the boy has in his bank account before it gets too serious. So that's called hearing about the glories. And then there's some kind of ritual. He sends her letters. You're the only one. And then very small letters in the last 2 weeks. And I'll serve you for the rest of my life. But I think your life is very short. So in that way, there is called bhajana kriya. There is some kind of ritualistic activities by which the relationship develops. And if the relationship goes on for more than a couple of weeks, then it's called nishta, fixed. And then hopefully there is some taste that develops some attachment, and then maybe it's love. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness, we hear about Krishna, we chant about Krishna. There are different activities by which one is able to get some liking for Krishna. Generally, most of the devotees, they develop a liking for Krishna for the food that's offered to him called prasad. That's usually the highest taste. But sometimes just by coming in contact with the devotees or hearing the holy name, there is some attraction that one thinks these people are nice. Maybe I should find out how to develop my relationship with the Krishna consciousness movement. In the beginning of the movement, Prabhupada didn't have any followers, and he was giving lectures at one ashram, with Dr. Mishra's ashram. And there was one boy there, rather a simple boy, later he was initiated as Jagannath. And the taste he developed, he liked Prabhupada's chapatis, kind of a flattened bread. He was attracted to Prabhupada, at least partly because of that. So one day he asked Prabhupada for the recipe for chapatis. And Prabhupada said, that will be $100. Prabhupada needed some Lakshmi at the beginning. But at least he was attracted by chapatis. Later on, he asked for the mantra, the holy name, and Prabhupada wrote it out for him, the Hare Krishna mantra, and he handed it to this particular person, and he said it was just like someone was giving me $1 million. In any case, generally we have some attraction for Krishna consciousness, then we associate with the devotees to find out from their point of view what Krishna consciousness is all about. Then we may take up the process. The process is ultimately smartavyam sadatam vishnor vismartak jatuna kinchit, to always remember Krishna, because Krishna and Krishna about Krishna, namely his name, his form, his quality, his pastimes, they're not different from him, that we can associate with Krishna just by hearing about him. Of course, how much we associate with him depends partly upon how much we're able to concentrate our minds upon Krishna's name or his quality or his form. Ultimately, how much we're able to actually think about Krishna. When we say the word Krishna, we're not really referring to just some letters of the alphabet. The word Krishna refers to everything about Krishna. His name, his form, his qualities, his associates, his activities. And one who's very expert at chanting Hare Krishna, all these things are remembered. Sometimes I give the example that in the Western world, there are many famous personalities. For instance, well, probably one that's universal in Kali Yuga is Mickey Mouse. Everyone heard of Mickey Mouse? Maybe there's some Eskimo in the South Pole who hasn't heard of Mickey Mouse. I guess the Eskimos are on the North Pole. In any case, when we chant Mickey Mouse, then naturally, without any deep meditation, we'll remember two big black ears, a big nose, and then with a little bit more concentration, maybe Minnie Mouse, Mickey, Donald Duck, Goofy. Our meditation will deeper the more we chant Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck. There's no need for introduction or instruction how to meditate. These things come naturally. Similarly, by practice of chanting Hare Krishna, gradually one will remember Krishna's form, his associates, his activities, and that's called Krishna consciousness. The whole aim of following our process is that one day we'll actually think about Krishna spontaneously. That's called Raghunuga Bhakti. Because when one comes to the platform of being able to concentrate the mind upon Krishna sufficiently, one will realize that there is no higher experience than simply to think about Krishna. Just like if a young boy falls in love with a young girl, he doesn't have to take classes in meditation, how to think about the young girl. It all comes rather spontaneously and naturally, at least for some time. Similarly, a young girl thinking about a young boy comes naturally. Similarly, when we become sufficiently absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we'll think about Krishna spontaneously. And that's called ruchi. We'll actually have a taste for thinking about Krishna. And the taste will be so great that everything else in this material world will be considered insignificant. And ultimately, when one comes to the platform of intense feeling towards Krishna, that happiness is so great that even the greatest material happiness, it is said, if it was multiplied 100 billion times, wouldn't equal to an atomic fraction in one drop in the ocean of pure love for Krishna. So you can think about that for a while. If you multiply the highest material happiness 100 billion times, it wouldn't equal to an atomic fraction in one drop in the ocean of pure love for Krishna. In other words, everything else will seem insignificant. Unfortunately, for most of us, we're not quite on that level yet. At the one's advanced stage, thinking about Krishna is so nice that even for a moment, if the mind stops thinking about Krishna for one reason or another, then the mind automatically starts thinking about Krishna again without any other effort required. But now, if we think about Krishna for a moment, we're quite fortunate. And then it's very hard to think about Krishna for more than a moment, because immediately the mind will go on to some other subject matter. But everything takes practice. Just like, for instance, if I asked anyone here what their name was, it would be very unusual for people to forget their name. Even you may forget, you get Alzheimer's disease or something, you forget everyone else's name, but generally people always remember what their name is because we chant our name day and night. And therefore, it's quite deeply within our heart. By practicing chanting Hare Krishna, then gradually the name of Krishna will enter into our minds and hearts, and we'll be able to remember him spontaneously. But there is certain practice, and part of initiation means that we're trying to learn how to utilize whatever energies we have and utilize them in Krishna's service. Our main mistake is that we're thinking that something here is different from Krishna. You can offer him the garland here. Generally, we see things as apart from Krishna because we're intent in utilizing this material energy for our own personal happiness. And as soon as we utilize energy for our own personal happiness, then we see that particular energy is apart from Krishna, as something different from Krishna's energy. And as soon as we use something in Krishna's service, then at once it's identified with Krishna. If I forget that this is Krishna's microphone, then I think it's my microphone. Because it's closer to me than anyone else, it must be my microphone. But because I know we're utilizing it in Krishna's service, therefore I can remember it's not my microphone, and therefore I won't walk out of here with a microphone. Unless I forget. Similarly, initiation means the practice learning how to utilize Krishna's energies in Krishna's service. And by doing that, then gradually we'll be able to remember Krishna always and everywhere. Especially important is to utilize our different relationships in Krishna's service. Generally speaking, we're thinking that this is my family, this is my countrymen, this is my friends, this is mine, mine, mine. But when we cooperate and in Krishna's service, then we'll remember that everyone is actually Krishna's eternal servant, and that everyone's relationship with Krishna is much more important to them than their relationship with me. Although in the material world, everyone is trying to be the center of attention, everyone is trying to be the center of love and affection, but the love and affection that someone can give to someone is insignificant compared to the love and affection that they can give to Krishna and that Krishna can reciprocate. Therefore, we're trying to learn how to serve not an ordinary person, we're trying to learn how to serve God. But God has his representatives, just like there may be a big business, and in the big business there are salesmen. The salesman is not the company, although for the client, the salesman appears to be the whole company. But if the salesman takes what the client gives and puts it in his own pocket, then he'll get into trouble with the company. Similarly, Krishna has his representatives. He's the whole company. And everyone else can simply represent Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. But if you make a contract with a salesman, then it's understood that the company should honor the contract if it's properly made. So initiation is making a contract, not with one person or even a group of persons, it's ultimately making a contract with Krishna and all his representatives. So part of that contract is we're trying to come to the platform of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. And in this age, the easiest way of doing that is by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And of course, it means, oh, the energy of the Lord, oh, the Supreme Lord, kindly engage me in loving service. Now, unless we believe in Krishna, unless we believe there's something called loving service to Krishna, there are many things we have to believe in order to chant Hare Krishna in such a way as it will factually remember Krishna, remember what his form is like, remembering what his qualities are like, remembering what his associates are like, his activities. We actually have to call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to factually engage us in his loving service. So then we have to do it at least as close to lovingly as we can, as our present experience enables us to do. If we do it out of desperation, out of anxiety, out of desire to get something, that's not exactly loving service. And therefore, we can't expect Krishna or his associates to reveal themselves to us because they only exist on the platform of loving exchanges. There is nothing else going on the level that Krishna and his eternal associates are existing on. We would be the only one there, and it would be rather unusual. There's one unhappy person in Goloka Vrindavan, and everyone else is blissful. No, it wouldn't work like that. Everyone would say, what does he do? How did he get here? Well, he has a return ticket. Well, let him use it. No, we actually have to come to the platform of joyfulness. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Lavate Param. The reason why we're not joyful is because we still think we're this body or the mind. And therefore, due to our hankering and our lamentation and our relationships with others which are less than favorable. We think people are our enemies. We think people are envious of us. We think people are our friends. We think of so many different things. Generally, we don't think that people are Krishna servants. And how can I serve them? How can I help them become better servants of Krishna? So that's our actual relationship with every living entity, is that we're supposed to see everyone and think, how can I help them become a better servant of Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked us to do that. Yari deka tarikaha Krishna upadesh amara aga guruhana taridesh. That whoever we meet, we should try to help them increase their awareness of Krishna and their relationship with Krishna. That's our actual service to every living entity, even the non-human beings, the flies, the grass. We should chant Hare Krishna to them. One time Govinda Dasi was talking to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada pointed out a little slug. A little slug is a little insect on the desk. And Prabhupada told Govinda Dasi, chant to the poor thing. Of course, there are many insects, and we could spend our whole day chanting to the poor insects, but probably it would be better if we get everyone else to chant to the poor insects. In other words, we're trying to get others to chant Hare Krishna, or at least to understand something about their relationship to Krishna, who Krishna is and what their relationship is. But again, in order to chant on the platform of Brahman, that is understanding our spiritual nature, to give up hankering and lamentation, there are certain offenses we can avoid when we chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction, the neophyte is someone who has received initiation and they're trying to learn how to chant Hare Krishna. So that's not so easy. All of us can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or we can chant Shnik Shnik Ram Ram Day 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 Day. Hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. That's also a famous mantra. I think there's a separate disciple succession called Shnik Shnik Ram Ram. So to chant offenselessly, there are certain offenses that Prabhupada generally decided at the beginning of every initiation. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives in propagation of the holy name of the Lord. If we want to learn something from someone, we generally have to learn it from someone who knows more than we do. So those devotees who have practiced more than we have, who Krishna has given more realization, we should try to assist them, we should try to serve them, and that way we can develop the atmosphere which is conducive for our hearing from them and learning from them how to chant Hare Krishna with less offense or offenselessly. Of course, if we criticize devotees, then it's very difficult to listen to someone that you're critical of. If you think of your worst enemy, how much you've learned from your worst enemy within the last week or so, it's probably not very much. If your worst enemy says black, you say white. If he says white, you say black. Therefore, developing a proper relationship with others is essential to be able to hear from them. Second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Of course, there are many demigods. There are many powerful persons in this world. And because we're not that much conscious of Krishna, sometimes we may think others, we may take shelter of others as much as, if not more, than Krishna. But that will not help us very much. Previously, people used to go to church if they were in difficulty and pray to God for some help. But nowadays, people don't go to church. They go to the bank and pray to the bank who's ever giving out loans. Please give me my daily loan. We have to take shelter of someone because that's our nature. We need shelter. So unless we understand who the highest shelter is, we won't take the highest shelter seriously, or we'll have many shelters. If one doesn't work, then we'll take shelter of the other. We'll chant Hare Krishna. If we don't get any result, then we'll take shelter of one of my friends or the bank manager or someone. So we have to have faith that there's no better shelter than the shelter of all shelters, namely Krishna. The third offense is to minimize or disobey the orders of the spiritual master or consider him an ordinary person. Factually, none of the devotees are ordinary because every devotee is, according to their realization, trying to serve Krishna and instruct others about Krishna. So they're acting as Krishna's representatives. Not only just Krishna's representatives, but they're actually acting as Krishna's instruments. Although we may imagine ourselves being little tiny spiritual souls within a very big body, or a very little soul with a big false ego, we may imagine ourselves be doing so many different things and taking credit for so many different things, but factually, whatever is going on because of Krishna's energies, either spiritual or what we call material. One who's acting in service to Krishna, who's either by his body, his mind, or his words, is actually Krishna who's working through his spiritual energy. Similarly, one who's not taking shelter of Krishna, who's taking shelter of the three modes of nature, is actually the material nature working, not the soul. Therefore, the devotee knows all he can do is be an instrument, and he recognizes others as an instrument for Krishna. And therefore, he values other devotees because he recognizes that they're actually Krishna's representatives in proportion to their surrender. Similarly, we take someone as a spiritual master, as more or less a guide, but he's also one of Krishna's servants, and his job is to teach us how to become a better servant, not only of Krishna, but how to recognize all the other servants of Krishna and to honor them accordingly to their level of advancement, so that ultimately we can love Krishna, honor the devotees appropriately, help the innocent become Krishna's servants, revive their relation with Krishna, and not get entangled with those who are born-again atheists, who are dedicated their lives for propagating atheism or are antagonistic towards Krishna. We honor them by not getting involved with them and agitating their minds by telling them about Krishna, or getting agitated in our minds by hearing from them. Therefore, when we hear the spiritual master's instructions, if they're coming down in disciple succession, then we take it as Krishna's instructions. And one's life is generally made, or at least in Krishna consciousness, to follow Krishna's instructions, because that will help us make progress in devotional service and Krishna consciousness. The fourth offense is the blasting the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Generally, in the beginning, we can hardly understand anything about the Vedic literature, and there are many things we think we've understood and we don't understand anything about it practically. Just like Krishna at the beginning speaks about how we're not this body. And after a couple of weeks, one thinks, well, I know that. That's really simple. Of course, it may take lifetimes to actually realize that we're not the body. So it's not so simple to give up all hankering, all lamentation in this world, to dedicate everything in Krishna's service so we can come to the Brahman platform. It's not that simple. Similarly, there are, just like we're reading the fifth canto right now, and there are many descriptions there which are completely beyond our imagination. Trees which were quite high, mountains which were even higher. oceans of milk, yogurt, salt water, liquor, LSD, and other such things, very much beyond our imagination. So we don't have to blindly accept these things, nor should we blindly reject them. We have no access to experience them. But the part that we can have access to is the truths in Bhagavad Gita, such as the fact that we're not this body, and how we're getting caught up in the material world trying to look for objects for our sense gratification, and therefore losing our awareness of Krishna. So these are the things which are within our realm of perception, experience. These are things that generally we consider within our realm of influence, that we can actually have some influence over, rather than what we're maybe concerned about. Therefore, we read the Vedic literature in such a way, we should read the Vedic literature in such a way as to pick out those essential truths which will help us make progress in devotional service, and the things that are beyond our imagination that we can conceive of presently, we shouldn't become overwhelmed with. Take it in a challenging attitude. How could King Ugrasena have 42 quadrillion personal bodyguards? He must have had quite a sense of insecurity. No, these things are not very important. Whether he had 10 bodyguards or he had 100 quadrillion bodyguards, it makes no difference. Still, we have to follow four of the principles and chant Hare Krishna. The fifth offense and the sixth offense are similar to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination, or to give some mundane interpretation of the holy name of the Lord. The holy name is non-different from Krishna. When it's chanted in love and attention, then the result is that one realizes Krishna. Krishna is like the sun, and as soon as the sun comes up, then immediately all the darkness of ignorance is dissipated. When we chant Hare Krishna offenselessly, then Ladini Shakti, the bliss potency of Krishna, enters into our heart along with the knowledge potency, and we can always see everything and everyone as they actually are. And we'll always become blissful. That's the potency of the holy name, is because it's non-different from Krishna. And when it's chanted offenselessly, everything is revealed. Not that the chanting of Hare Krishna is some kind of mystic process. One friend of Krishna declared that the Hare Krishna mantra has some potency because when the devotees chant it, they hyperventilate, and therefore they get high. Because he was not very familiar with the fact that Krishna and Krishna's name are actually non-different. Seventh offense is commit sinful activities in the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. It's the fact that by chanting Hare Krishna, we may get free from the reactions of some sinful activity. But just the fact that we're taking shelter of sinful activity means that the reaction from committing that offense will be more severe than the reaction from the sinful activity. Because we won't take Krishna's shelter very seriously, and without taking shelter of Krishna's holy name, then there is ultimately no shelter in the material world. Therefore, we shouldn't take it that I could do whatever I like. Prabhupada was one time was chanting on his beads, and then he took his beads and threw them on the ground. He got the last bead down. He had chanted 16 rounds. Then he took the last bead, the counter bead, and put it down. So now I've chanted my 16 rounds, and then he threw his beads on the table with the bead bag. Said, now I've chanted my 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing I want. So we shouldn't think, now I've chanted my 16 rounds, I'm clear for the day, I punched in, now I'm punching out. We should understand that chanting 16 rounds, or how many rounds we're chanting, is simply a help us get into the custom of chanting Hare Krishna taking shelter of Krishna, because as soon as we forget Krishna, then at once we're in the world of Maya. And the world of Maya, anything goes. The eighth offense is the consider chanting Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities or from the Vedas as fruit of activities or kamakanda. So by chanting Hare Krishna or by kamakandic activities, there are many very good results that may be obtained from the material point of view. One may get health, or may get wealth, one may get some material position, one may get some scholarship or learning. But all these things are temporary. Whatever we get here, even if we got our opulence or our wealth or our power, as long as the life of Brahma, but Brahma's life, Prabhupada said, is just like a flash of lightning in the cosmic sky. Although his 40 billion years may seem very fantastic in our estimation of time, but his life is just a little flickering moment in eternal time. Whatever results we may get from following the Vedas is actually insignificant from the actual result of becoming Krishna conscious, because those results are eternal, and we don't lose the results, Krishna says. That on this path, there's no loss or diminution, and even a little advancement can protect one from the greatest danger. The ninth offense is to preach the glories of the holy name to the unfaithful. We should try to make our preaching appropriate to the time, place, and audience. Generally, people don't understand very much about Krishna, nor do they understand very much about the philosophy of how to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada generally kept his preaching for many years simply on the level of the difference between our body and ourselves, or our minds and ourselves. We may think we've understood all that philosophy, it's quite elementary, but actually it's a very deep philosophy. Of course, we should also hear about Krishna, but generally we have to hear about Krishna, how Krishna is the proprietor of everything, how Krishna is the controller of everything, how Krishna is the enjoyer of everything, and ultimately Krishna is the friend of everyone. If we hear that philosophy, if we tell people that philosophy, it's very likely that people will be able to appreciate it. Little Saraswati was 2 years old, the daughter of Balati Mataji and Shyama Sundar Prabhu. She used to go up to people and ask people, do you know who Krishna is? And if they said no, little Malati, 2 years old, would tell them that Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada said, that's perfect preaching. One time one man came up to little Saraswati and challenged her and said in a challenging voice to Saraswati, why are you chanting Hare Krishna? So little Saraswati took her 2-year-old hand and slapped him across the face. And Prabhupada said, that's nishta, fixed. So that's preaching. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. And it's also an offense to be inattentive. Therefore, we're trying to develop some faith in chanting Hare Krishna. Not that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, some thought comes to our mind and we think, hey, that's a good thought. I almost forgot about that part of my material existence. Thanks, Maya, for reminding me. So that will not be very good. If some materialistic thought comes into mind, then we should try to become detached by taking more shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, as soon as we get caught up in remembering the train of Maya, the train of Mayic thoughts, then we don't know where we're going to wind up. Yogas chalati manasa. As soon as we try to become conscious of Krishna, the illusory energy will try to misdirect us by so many different allurements. And even great stalwart devotees, Prabhupada writes, became deviated by the illusory energy. So we shouldn't think that I'm so advanced, Maya can't touch me. And that's the first thing that Maya does, is makes us puffed up and thinking that we're infallible. I remember one time Prabhupada came to Boston, 1969, and he came to the... We had just gotten a new temple in Boston. And at the end of the lecture, Prabhupada went back to his house. There was no place for him to stay in the temple. And his servants came back and told the devotees that Prabhupada stood on the edge of his bed and then fell back and rolled over and said, "I pray every night to Krishna to please protect me from Maya." So Prabhupada was always in the mood asking Krishna to protect him from Maya. So we think, well, poor Prabhupada, but Maya can't touch me. He had to pray like that, but Maya, I'm such an advanced devotee that Maya's afraid to get near me. Then we're certainly going to get ourselves into difficulty. Therefore, we should try to chant Hare Krishna, try to just chant and listen. One time I wrote to Srila Prabhupada and asked him, "Can I remember Krishna's pastimes when I'm chanting?" So I thought Prabhupada was going to write back, "Oh, you're such a nice devotee, you're so advanced. You know, you're remembering Krishna's pastimes when you're chanting Hare Krishna." So no, he wrote me back and said, "No." He said, "Our process is just to chant and hear, and if Krishna's pastimes come spontaneously, that's very nice, but not that we're trying to artificially remember. We're just trying to chant very nicely, very sweetly, lovingly to Krishna, and then Krishna will reciprocate. If we just try to chant with attention, that's very nice, but just trying to chant with attention is usually not in a very loving mood. It's more or less like a challenge or something. No, we have to not only chant attentively, but we also have to chant happily or feelingly or enthusiastically. And then Krishna will reciprocate. And Krishna's reciprocation is not that we get our house or our wife or our color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. No, Krishna's reciprocation will be that we'll spontaneously remember Krishna in the mood of feeling, of love. And when we feel Krishna's presence, when we feel the atmosphere of loving exchanges with Krishna, then the result is that that is gradually entering into Krishna consciousness. It is not only Krishna exists in a form and pastimes, but he exists in the atmosphere of loving exchanges called rasa. So the more attentively, the more feelingly, lovingly, happily, enthusiastically we chant with care and attention, then the more we enter into the realm of Krishna consciousness. There are many other instructions that Prabhupada gives us how to chant very nicely, so we should read Prabhupada's books regularly. There are an ocean of instructions about Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, and the process of associating with Krishna. So we take that seriously and then live our lives in the association of devotees. We're trying to become conscious of Krishna, and surely we'll make progress in that realm. We may have karma for material opulence. We may have karma for material beauty. We may have karma for material learning. We may have karma in different ways, plus or minus in the material world. But ultimately, the Krishna consciousness movement is simply to go beyond that. And while we're struggling in the material world, at the same time, try to make some progress in becoming conscious of Krishna. Especially through the offenseless chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this initiation is not only we're being initiated by a particular person who's giving out beads, or giving names out, whatever. is actually a process of entering into a family. Family, the real family is that everyone belongs to Krishna's family. The original father is Krishna. Krishna says, Aham Bija Prajapita. So it's, our original father is not a monkey. Sorry to disappoint people. If we trace our family ancestry back, we won't find that our great-great-great-grandmother or father were monkeys, and that their ancestors were sheep, and their ancestors were mice, and our original ancestor was not only a rock, but the nothingness from which all rocks come from. So we're not worshiping the void or a rock or land or sheep or monkeys. We're worshiping our real father, that everyone knows that everyone had a father, everyone's father had a father. So the original father is Krishna. He's everyone's original father. So everyone is coming from the same ancestry. Everyone is actually a descendant of Krishna. So in the real sense, everyone is brothers and sisters. Therefore, when we're giving initiation, we're simply accepting the fact that we're entering into Krishna's family again. We're willing to become part of Krishna's family rather than some black sheep in Krishna's family. Or a rock in Krishna's family. Or perhaps a monkey in Krishna's family. No, it's ending of all monkey business and actually entering into Krishna's real family. So, okay, thank you. So now you can offer obeisances to Prabhupada, Bhakti Remini. You can offer obeisances to Prabhupada. Actually, our teachings, whatever we say, has to be judged according to Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada is our original instructor. He's our perfect acharya. He's giving us all the knowledge that our previous teachers have given us in a form that is understandable for the conditioned souls in this age. Now you can offer obeisances to me and repeat the mantra out loud, so at least I can hear it. So what are the four? Well, here, you have a microphone, so. So what are the four regular principles?
No gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating.
And how many rounds will you chant every day?
16 rounds at least.
Yes. So your name will be, of course we want all the devotees here, the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavi, to give their blessings to him. Without the devotees here giving their blessings, and it's very difficult for anyone, especially for me, to make any progress. So we hope you give all his blessings to Remini. His name will now be Rasaladas. They're called the Anugas, one of the cowherd boys in Krishna's pastime. That doesn't mean that you're a cowherd boy in Krishna's pastime, but you're a servant of the servant of Krishna's cowherd boys in Vrindavan. Our priest has disappeared for some reason. He forgot the mantra, how to light the fire by mantra, so now he has to use.
We don't have that power.
He has the power, but he doesn't exhibit it in front of so many devotees. Okay.
So we can have a small bhajan while I start the fire.